Obviously, coming from Middlesbrough, you have a bit of an inferiority complex, but it helps coming up here.
No.
So I want to talk to you today about, well, just what the people have been through that have been baptised, and just their own words, really, and their own experiences, their own life. And those of you that have come with them today as family or friends, you know those people better than anybody, so that the words that they've spoken today probably mean more to you than anybody else. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about a couple of things that are quite high on the agenda in terms of what we're interested in life today, what the world seems to be interested in. And one of those things is human rights. And people talk about, you know, human rights for this and human rights for that, and the whole world believes in it, and all presidents and world leaders talk about it, and you can study it at university, but we know that actually it doesn't work. It doesn't work, does it? We really believe, don't we? We really believe that people should be treated fairly. We really believe that people should be treated equally. And regardless of your upbringing, and some of the people that are baptised today had very different upbringings in life, didn't they? You could tell by the way they speak and their experiences that whatever your beginning in life, they're very, very different, aren't they, amongst people. And, you know, we believe that, you know, whatever your background, that everybody should be treated equally. And the whole world believes that. But we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't treat each other equally. We can't treat each other properly as we should. And what I'm interested in is, what does God think about human rights? You know, what about God's rights, actually? What does God think is right for each and every one of us? I'm going to talk about that in a little moment. The other thing that's big on the agenda, which is a pet hate of mine, sorry for some of you, recycling. What is the obsession with recycling? I mean, at work, there's those little, what's that little sign with the arrow on, and what does that mean anyway? And, you know, you got your rubbish. There's just a bin, isn't there? There used to be a bin. But now you've got different, I don't know what it's like up here, but some parts of the country, you've got different coloured bins for different stuff. I mean, if you're colourblind, you've had it, basically. You're on the blacklist of the local council because basically you're getting it all wrong. But what is it with recycling? And, you know, what's the purpose of it? And what I'm interested in is the recycling of people. These people today were being recycled in a moment. The first moment is when, do you see the link there? Do you like that? Is where they lift the hand to Jesus and ask Jesus to come into their life and ask Jesus for forgiveness. It really begins there. And this is the sort of final, if you like, sort of point of coming into a full relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to talk about, you know, coming to faith in Christ is about, you know, being recycled. But I want to talk about what God thinks about human rights. And let me just talk about your right to come to faith in Jesus Christ, where all human beings are equal all over the whole earth, is in this one thing, and only in this one thing. And that is the right to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and ask for his forgiveness and to receive it. That is the only place, the only thing, where all people all over the whole face of the earth, in prison, out of prison, in care, out of care, whatever their background, whatever their upbringing, whatever their education, everybody has this right. You have the right to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. Have you done that yet? Have you done that yet? Have you come to the cross of Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness for yourself? I mean, if you're in here for the first time and you see anybody dancing around, you probably think, they're mad. And you may be right. Well, what's happening? And what is this place? I was thinking about it while I was sitting there. I've just come back from Canada visiting one of my sons out there. And the painful experience of airport terminals, they're just the worst thing, aren't they? I mean, you just hang around forever, you know, with loads of people you don't really know, and just doing nothing. And it's like, it's not really, you can see the planes, but you're not on it. And you're looking forward to what? To being sort of 6 hours in a horrible little tube going somewhere, overheated, overfed. Horrible, isn't it? And it's a bit of a terminal, you know, it's a terminal to get somewhere. And churches like that, it's like the airport terminal for heaven, this. So everybody that's dancing around, the reason for that is they know where they're going. Do you know where you're going? When, you know, when it's called, right, boarding now at gate, whatever it is, will passengers rows 1 to 7, you can tell I've travelled, please make their way forward. And those people in the other rows try and push in. And
But, you know, when it's time to get on board, where are you going? Because you are going somewhere. The Bible tells you you're going to heaven or hell. Where are you going? Do you know? Would you like to know? Because you can this morning. You can know for sure. Whether it's when it's time to go, you will know that you're going to heaven. And you have the right to come to God because he has invited you. Your name is on a list. The Bible talks about the names, our names, your name. Your name is written in God's book. Did you know that? And when you get to heaven, the books, it says, will be opened and they'll go down the list looking for your name. Ian, come in, sir. Or, sorry, you're not on this list. You're not on this passenger list. You're going to the other place. You don't have to take my word for it. You'll be there. You will know. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life or not? And God has invited you. You have the right to come. Jesus says this, to those who believe in Jesus, he has given the right to become children of God. Sometimes people say, what right have you got at work? I'm a lecturer at university. What right have you got to talk about God? I don't do it in the students. And, you know, I'm lecturing on something. I don't say, today we're going to do Jesus. Because that, you wouldn't get away with that. But I talk to people about it. And people often say, what gives you the right? And I say, God gives me the right. They don't like that, but it's true. Might not believe it, but I don't care. The worst thing that can happen is I can get the sack. So what? I'm going to heaven, aren't I? You don't need money to get to heaven. You don't need a job to get to heaven. You don't need letters after your name to get to heaven. Hope you know that. You can come just as you are, just as these people came this morning. So many different experiences. Really nervous, some of them, weren't they? Very brave to get up and come here and stand in front of you lot. Only kidding. But wonderful thing to do. And you have the right, if you're a Christian, to talk to whoever you like, whenever you like, about Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you have the right, whatever anybody else says, whatever you think of yourself, what anybody's ever said to you, about you, behind your back, whatever anybody's done to you, you have the right to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and ask him for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. Someone talked about an agreement. That's what covenant means. It's an agreement. The new covenant through Jesus Christ. The agreement, he's agreed to take you on board. Whatever you've done, he'll have you. Question is, will you have him? Do you want him? Because he wants you. He absolutely loves you. My youngest son got married to a South African girl. I got married in South Africa. And by the way, if ever you're getting married, can I just recommend getting married in South Africa? The wedding was so cheap. It was just... This isn't really part of the preach, but let me just give you a quick plug for South Africa, right? Anybody here from South Africa? God bless you. What an awesome place. 30 people, 2 nights, bed and breakfast, all the food paid for, awesome choir, the wedding, everything, all in. Guess how much? 30 people. Can you imagine 30 people in a top flight hotel here? Less than 3,000 quid. That's awesome. Anyway, what am I... I had a point. Yeah, my point is this. Right. Everybody was invited. All the family, all of her family, all of our family who live in this country, everybody's invited to this awesome wedding. And much to everybody's surprise in their family, I'm paying. Because I knew how much it was, and it wasn't much. So everybody's invited. Everybody gets the invite. But because it's a long way, and because it's expensive to get there, one by one, people in the family were like, oh, thanks, but... We just can't afford it this year, and you know, we've got other things planned, and you know, we won't make it this time. And it went down the list. So, oh, okay, they can't make it. You know, good. No, they. Sorry, that was a joke. And we went down the list until, do you know what? Nobody came. Nobody. Just me, and my wife, and my other son. Even cheaper. Aren't they? Good point. And so just three of us from our family. Okay, but everybody else was invited, and I said to other to people, you know, it doesn't matter. It did matter. But I said, it doesn't matter. You know, don't worry about it. You know, if you can get a flight at the last minute, you'd be very, very welcome. And it was true. They would have been very, very welcome. Right up until the last minute. Right up until my gorgeous daughter-in-law, Rosie, walked down the aisle. They were invited, but they never came. And God has invited you. Jesus talks over and over again about an invitation to a wedding that you've been invited to. And people make all sorts of excuses. I've got this to do, I've got that to do, I'm working, or I've just got married, or whatever. Whatever the excuse is. And people don't come. The question is, are you coming? Are you going to take up Jesus' invitation or not? Would you like to? I highly recommend him to you, as the people so brilliantly said earlier on. You have the right to come to Jesus because God's invited you. Also, you have the right to come to the cross because Jesus himself has made the approach to the cross possible. The book of Hebrews, it says, talks about a new and living way through his body on the cross. It's not just any way, it's the living way. Jesus is alive. This isn't a funeral going on here. We're not remembering Jesus who's dead. He's alive. I mean, there's life in the singing, isn't there? There's life in it. There's life in this place. Why are people waving? What are they waving at? What are they happy about? Well, you'd be happy if someone you just buried suddenly met you back at home. You go to the funeral, all a bit depressing. You go to however the funeral goes to, and it's all not much fun. Imagine if you go home, that drive home after a funeral, isn't it? Or when you loosen your tie, you want to get home and have a cup of tea. You get home. Can you imagine if you went in, and the person you just buried had just put the kettle on for you and said, hello? You'd be shocked. You'd be like, what? And that's what's happening here. People are delighted that Jesus is alive. They know it because they experience it. Not pretending. These people aren't pretending, hoping, oh, hedging my bets. Just in case there is a heaven and a hell, they know. And if you know them, you'll see it in their lives as they change and become more certain of that hope in Jesus. My best friend, Howard, I don't know if I told you about Howard, the pilot, my best friend, and when we were kids in Middlesbrough, Howard decided he wanted to be a pilot. And he started sort of talking a bit different one day, a bit posh. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to be a pilot. So what are you on about? He said, pilots talk like this. I said, Howard, you're losing it. He said, no, I'm going to be a pilot, and I'm not coming out to play today because I'm going to study for my O-levels. I said, you're 12. Your O-levels are 4 summers away. What are you playing at? He said, no, I need good O-levels to be a pilot. And he took a couple of his O-levels early, and he did it. He became a pilot. And flies jumbo jets for British Airways all over the world. But before he became, for British Airways, he was just got his first pilot's license, and he had an agreement with somebody that he would take up this guy's sort of 4-seater aeroplane every now and then to sort of keep the plane running, and he would get in some of his flying hours. And he said to me, do you want to come? And like an idiot, I said yes. Because if you've ever flown in a small aeroplane, it's you know those smart cars? It's like sitting in one of those at 10,000 feet. It's absolutely terrifying. You can touch the wings. I mean, it's not like those big things. You know, when you hit a bit of turbulence on a big aeroplane, it's like, ooh, when a little one, it's horrific. And you can see out the front, which is also scary. So he took me up for my birthday. I paid for the aviation fuel, which was 15 quid. In those, it was a long time ago. I'm older than I look. Anyway, so he goes up in this little aeroplane, horrific, and we're flying around. We took off, we flew out onto the coast over the Tees estuary, sounds posh, turned right, flew to Whitby, turned round to come back, and it got foggy and cloudy, and we couldn't see anything. I wasn't a Christian then, but I was praying a bit, you couldn't see anything out of the front. I mean, we're in the clouds, you could see nothing. And I'm thinking, this is horrific. I'm going to fly into a mountain. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's going to be horrible. And then he gets on the radio in his posh pilot's voice. Hello, Tal, this is flight whatever he was. And whatever flight number we were. And he said, told him where we were. And can you guide us in? And this little voice comes on the radio and talks us down, turn 2 degrees, whatever it is. Any pilots in, sorry. Any pilots? No, I'm safe. Right. 2 degrees left or whatever, we fly for a bit, and you know, a couple of kilometres, then a couple of degrees the other way, and all the time I'm panicking. You know, have I been a good friend to him? You know, anyway. And then it, as we came out of the fog, there it was, right in front of us, a couple of hundred feet below us, the runway. I've never been so pleased to see those lights. And the runways look awesome when you're looking at them that way on. And amazing. We were stuck in the fog, couldn't see anything, but somebody talked us down. Somebody talked us into the right way. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing through his Holy Spirit. Whatever the fog of your life, did you notice that some of the stories, you think, some of these people have been living in dark times, in fog. You know, and your life might be like that. Wonder what the fog of your life is. I don't know your life, but you do. What's the experiences of your life? And do you need some guidance? Do you need someone who knows where you're going to talk you down? Do you need a little voice in your ear telling you where to go? That's what the Bible says. You will hear a little voice telling you when to turn left, when to turn right. It's Jesus. Because he wants you to come into a relationship with him. So you have the right to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Because God has invited you, you are welcome. Because Jesus himself has made the approach possible through his death on the cross. And finally, because you have a choice. A choice. Your choice. I mean, real human rights is defined in this one thing. Choice. If you've got the choices over your life, what happens to you, what people do to you or not, where you go, what you do, who you speak to, what you say, how you say it, how you live your life, what you eat, what you don't eat, all those types of things. Choice, that's human rights, isn't it? It's to have choice. Not even, not in charity, I mean, you know, I'm not people doing stuff for you because they feel sorry for you. Not that sort, not that kind of pity, but I mean real choice, where you're totally free. That's human rights, isn't it? Where everybody's totally free. You have a choice, the Bible says, about those who believe. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely. Freely you have received. You have a choice, an absolute choice, a personal, individual choice. I can't choose for you. I'd love to be able to do that. Wouldn't that be good if you could just pick people out and say, Lord, I choose that person. I can't do that. But Jesus has already done that. Jesus has already said, Lord, I choose all of them. All of them. All of the things that you've ever done wrong in your life, I'll die for those things. All of the bad things you've ever thought and said and done that you need to be punished for. Well, do you know what? Let me take that off you, says Jesus. Let me die on the cross for you. I don't deserve it, but do you know what? I love you. I love you so much, I'm desperate for a relationship with you. Did you know that? You know, he's absolutely desperate for a relationship with you, and he wants you to make the right choice. And only you can make that choice. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in a couple of moments to make that choice, like these people did. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come forward, like these people did, and give your life to Jesus, to ask him to come into your life. Brave coming forward, wasn't it? Very brave. Especially when you're thinking about it. I bet those of you that were getting baptised didn't sleep much last night. Oh no, I'm going to get out the front and all those people are going to look at me and I might have to say something and then I'm going to get wet. I'm going to have a public bath. When Jesus died on the cross for you, he died naked. In the paintings, they usually paint a loincloth or something on him, but crucifixion was done naked. It was to do with public humiliation. It was about publicly disgracing you. It was, the Bible says, that people that were cursed, that were hung on a tree. It was the worst type of execution. It said something and declared something about you, that you were cursed. So naked you would be stripped of your clothes, nailed to a cross and hung up in public in front of all your friends and all your enemies. And Jesus did that for you, publicly for you, because he loves you. And I want to talk to you a little bit about, a bit more about choice. Some of you know I have an artificial leg. A leg amputated 26 years ago. And the guy who was the manager that I worked for at the time, I was a lorry driver, and I said to him, oh, there's a problem with the lorry. There's something wrong with the brakes. And we had this special little forms that we'd fill in, and I put brakes faulty, not don't seem to be working properly, and he dismissed it for a few days, and I kept on persisting, and he said, okay, right, I'll... I thought it was a bit more serious than that. He said, no, come on, we'll get it checked out. So we took it round to the mechanic. The mechanic checked over it in seconds, it seemed like. Said, no, it's fine. They weren't bothered. And then the next thing that happened was I had my accident, and somebody died in the accident, and horrific motorway pile-up, and I had my leg amputated, which totally changed the course of my life. Absolutely, totally. But it's just a choice. And the point I'm making is that people may have made some choices that have affected your life negatively. Today's the day to forgive those people. If you're a Christian and you know Jesus, you might still be holding something against some people, but you need to let it go. You need to let it go. Because human beings that don't know Jesus make mistakes. And sometimes bad things happen to us. But we have to forgive. And I was at my brother-in-law's 60th birthday the other day, and I was chatting to a guy, chatting away and having a laugh. I went and sat down, and my niece said to me, who's that? I said, that's my old transport manager, Martin. And she said, well, the guy who made all those mistakes that led to your accident. I said, yeah. She said, how can you talk to him? I said, easy. It's forgiven. Totally forgiven him. I hold nothing against him. Can you say that today? Can you honestly say that you hold nothing against anyone that's ever hurt you? Because you need to let it go, or you'll never be free. And Jesus wants you to be free. Totally free. Human rights is about freedom. Who wants to be free? Anybody? Anybody want to be free? Forever. Totally free. Free gift. Awesome. Why don't we stand together? I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to exercise your freedom and your right to come to faith in Jesus Christ today. And so let's just pray. Now, Father in heaven, I just thank you for all of these people in here. You know every single individual person in this place. You know them. You love them. You died on the cross for them because you're desperate to have a relationship with them. You reach out your hand to them today. Lord, you want to pour out your forgiveness on them. You want to pour out your love and your joy and your peace on them. You absolutely love them. And if you'd like to give your life to Jesus this morning, I want to encourage you to come to the front. And you can come with, whoever brought you today, you can come to the front with your friend. And you can come down here, and the leaders will pray for you. Now, to come into a relationship with Jesus, there's nothing like it. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, don't be embarrassed. Jesus knows all about you and he absolutely loves you. Desperate to have a relationship with you. So that's the first opportunity for those people that don't know Jesus. And secondly, for Christians, as I was talking about holding things against people, and you know that's you, and you want to release people and ask God to help you to forgive them, because sometimes difficult things happen and you need God's help. And I want to encourage you, if you're a Christian and you want some final release from that, I want to encourage you to come forward as well. So I don't know if the band are going to come back up we're going to have some music. We're going to have some music. But let's put a CD on, because some of the band might want to come forward for prayer anyway.